We would like to thank Karen and Jake Abelevis for sponsoring this morning's Perk Elbow Shear in memory of Jake's beloved parents, Eliyah ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yeshua ben Shimon Dov. Their neshamas should have an aliyah. We are starting a brand new Mishnah, one of my favorites in Pirkei Avos, Perek 5, Mishnah 11. We are going to talk about different types of anger. For those who remember, we have already spoken about anger. We've had Mishnayos that dealt with it explicitly. This one is related to that previous Mishnah. We'll see if you guys can remember that as we go along. But there's some fascinating questions in terms of both just textually how to read and understand this Mishnah, as well as in terms of the practical takeaways that we may have in terms of trying to understand, for those who are interested in working on our own anger, if that is something that we either want to work on or need to work on. There's some good practical advice here. So let's start with the Mishnah. We're going to read it as we read all Mishnayos with an inquisitive mind to try to understand the nuances, and that will help us get to the practical later once we understand what the nuances are. So Arba Midos Ba Deos. There are four types of temperaments. Four Midos Ba Deos. We are going to ask, for those who remember are keeping score from last week, the Mishnah also started off with Arba Midos, but didn't say Ba Deos, it said Ba Adam. Four types of people. Here it says, even though it was talking about charity and the types of people's character traits when it comes to how they give money, share, etc. Here, we don't use the word four traits with people. We use the word four traits ba deos, with deos. Translated here as temperaments, but we're going to have to understand why use this word deos instead of adam. So keep that in mind. It's going to be important. Four types. What are the four types? Noach lichos v'noach lirtsos. Somebody who becomes angry easily, but is also easy to be appeased. So they get angry easily. Let's assume that that means often. But even when they get angry, they quickly can be appeased. So that's number one. I'm going to hold off in telling you what the judgment of such a person is, and we're just going to look at the categories, and then we'll go back and do the judgment. So somebody who's easily angered but easily appeased. Number two is kasha lichos v'kasha lirtsos. Somebody who's hard to become angry, so it takes a lot to get them angry. Let's assume that also means they become angry infrequently, but when they do become angry, they're hard to be appeased. They're kasha lirtsos. They almost, as if they hold the grudge, they can't get over it. So they're infrequent in their times that they get angry, but once they do get angry, it's harder to calm them down for them to be forgiving of the thing or the person that they are angry about. That's category number two. Category number three is somebody who's kasha lichos v'noach lirtsos, difficult for them to get angry, but when they do become angry, they are easily appeased, so that's the best of both worlds. They don't get angry easily, and when they do,
that sounds good.
Yeah, when they do get angry, they are easily appeased. That person's called, I'll give this one away, it's pretty straightforward, a chassid, somebody who's pious. Because they don't get angry, and when they do, okay, good. So we say, Rabbi Shlomi is pointing out, we say on Rosh Hashanah, this is, presumably that language is borrowed from this Mishnah, is that God is somebody who's kash et lichos. He doesn't get angry frequently, and when he does, he's easily appeased. He's noach lirtzos, and again, that's piety, that's chassid. And to tie in something else we say on the Yamim No Ra'im and other times, God is erech apayim, right? So he's patient, he doesn't get angry easily, and v'chesed, right? So it's tied together as well. Number four is noach lichos v'kasha lirtzos. This is the worst of both worlds, somebody who gets angry easily And when he gets angry or she gets angry, stays angry, very hard to appease them. Again, this one's pretty straightforward. Also, that person is called a Rasha, a wicked person. So now, we have four different categories. Before, we still have to go back and explain the nuance. It's going to be a little complicated, but we're going to do it slowly and carefully and methodically to understand the first two and how we're going to judge those two categories of the split between frequency and duration of the anger. But we see that there are four categories, but there's actually things that we can conclude even by the fact that these four are presented. Chaim, you have something you want to...
Yeah, how are we defining pious or chassid?
Okay, good. So that's
going to... What does that mean?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Excellent. How we define chassid and how we define rasha, we're going to discuss in detail probably next week. We're gonna take this one slow and spell a lot of things out. So we'll probably get to that next week. Remember, we did use the same language last week when we spoke about the characteristics of giving and sharing. Right, the same piety and wickedness was used in order to describe the character traits of that type of discussion. So it's not totally new and it's not coming from nowhere. But in the context of anger, we will have to see what pious and wicked means. Okay, good. Now, some notes as we read. Are there really only four types of people when it comes to anger? These are the only four types. The only ways we can categorize people is based on the duration and frequency of how much they get angry. If you really want to be nuanced, you can go and give lots of other different explanations of anger. Do they hold the anger in? Are they passive aggressive? Are they explicitly angry? Are they verbally angry? Are they violently angry? What are they getting angry about? Is it something that's important to get angry about? Not important to get angry about? There's so many variables that we can introduce here that are not explicitly stated in this Mishnah. So the Mishnah starts off by saying there are four characteristics, but we have to be honest with ourselves, and this is going to, I think, help us understand the Mishnah better. We have to be able to realize that this is not an exhaustive list of all the possibilities of anger expression or anger feeling, because there's obviously a lot more to unpack if we were going to do an exhaustive sort of, you know, dissertation on anger. This is not going to be everything. Notice as well, Barb, I'll get to you in a second. We'll speak about this more next week, but I want to highlight it already. Is there a category? Who's our pious person? Somebody who doesn't get angry easily, but when he does get angry, is easily appeased. Notice how there is no category mentioned here of somebody who
never gets angry,
right? Our best category is somebody who gets angry infrequently and then can back down once they realize that they're angry. But there is no category presented here of somebody who never gets angry. And we're going to have to discuss why that is. We'll see different explanations as to why that may be. Some fascinating things that will come out of that. Yes, Barbara.
First of all, last things first, is there such a person? But what I wanted to ask you was, what about justified anger?
Okay, excellent. So that's part of those two questions that you just put are really going to answer each other, in the sense that if we want, we can cheat a little bit. I wasn't planning on doing it this week, but by next week, we'll probably forget anyway. So when we redo it, it'll be like it's brand new. Some commentaries say that the reason why there is not presented here anybody who never gets angry is because it's impossible. Because anger is a natural emotion that people will feel, and it's just a matter of managing it, as it were, to a point where it doesn't lead to anything negative in the long run, but the emotion itself is something that comes up and that it can't be totally taken away and excised from our personality. That's number one. But there are those that disagree with that. So the Rambam, this for those who are in the Hilchos Deos Shir, contradicts himself in a few different places, but does present a model of somebody who doesn't feel anger at all as being the ideal. We may or may not discuss that in depth when we get to it next week, because it's not really this Mishnah, but since it's related, maybe we'll tangent a little bit. But there are those that say that the reason why it doesn't have a category of somebody who never gets angry is because, as Barbara said in her second point, there are times where it may be appropriate to get angry. There are, whether or not, in a classic religious sense, somebody who's worshiping idols, maybe we should be getting angry at them. That anger may be justified. So there, again, we'll discuss that more next week, but there might be a righteous anger that is justified. Again, that gets you into dangerous territory in terms of who's the one who's justifying it. But let's go pretty black and white. If somebody's worshiping idols, perhaps getting angry at that is justified. But again, we'll save that for next week. Okay. So, with that, let's go back to our original question, and I know we still have to explain the two judgments of the first two categories, but that we'll spend a lot of time doing. But for now, we start off by saying we need to understand this. What does it mean for midos, for characteristics, ba deos, when it comes to deos? What is deos? So in general, again, here they translate it as temperament. The Rambam, as I just alluded to, has a whole book in one of his books called Hilchos Deos, the laws of Deos, temperaments, personality. So it's interesting, if we're going to use this word Deos as personality, we still want to understand why is that? What does the word actually mean? What's the source, the root of that word? But second of all, if Deos means personality, temperament, then why is the Mishnah only giving us anger, right? Anger is one part of our personality, hopefully, ideally, a small part. That's not who we are in totality. So why are we starting off with this broad, sweeping statement? There are four categories of temperament, of personality structure, and they all have to do with anger. Right. So that's a little bit strange. So we need to understand, what does Deos mean, as well as why are we then highlighting and focusing on just anger and not a more broad category of temperament? So let's start off. This is going to be our part one. Part two, hopefully we'll have time for today, is going to be discussing the first two of our list. Noach lichos v'noach lirtzos, kasha lichos v'kasha lirtzos, and try to understand the pros and cons of that. And then if we have time, probably next week, we're going to talk about, as Chaim asked, what is chassid and rasha mean, as well as what we just alluded to in terms of whether it's that category of never getting angry can possibly come up. Yes, Rabbi Shalomi.
I want to say, there's only kaas and slichka. Mm-hmm. There are two only. So, kaas, all of them are talking about kaas. How do you get into the kaas, and how do you get out of the kaas?
Right.
It's a kind of kaas is the midah.
Correct.
The midah ra'a ba'adam, kaas.
Okay.
Now, the question is, what do you do with the kaas? Are you staying with this, or you get out of it, or that? But the midah is kaas. That's it.
Right.
It's only midah achat.
Okay, good. So if you look down here, I didn't quote you the whole thing, but I just highlighted for you, this is exactly what you're saying. The Lev Avos makes that exact point. He says that anger is the primary trait, right? If you're going to categorize and make a hierarchy of personality, according to Lev Avos, he learns from this Mishnah that we start off by saying Deos, all of personality. Well, a core, crux, main paradigm of our personality is anger. Now, that has to be understood in more depth and detail, but I think that as a starting point, you see the importance of anger and how we deal with anger and how it comprises our personality. It's not just a side point, but it is essential to understanding how we tick as human beings. Okay, so now let's back up to source number one, the Magen Avos of the Rashbats. Arba Midos Bedeos. What does it mean, Deos here? So what word do you see in Deos?
Das.
So it has to do with knowledge. What does das mean? What is to yodea? To be
knowledge. To be aware.
Knowledge, aware, familiar. Okay. So arba midos bedeos haperush midos elu biyad hadam o letaknam o lekalalam. So he points out here, and this will become clear as we go on. He says that the deos is referencing the fact that it is in our hands. It's our bechira, it's our free choice to be able to either fix our deos or destroy our deos, our personality. We can improve it or we can just go down a dumpster fire. Right, the lule ze lo haya nikra chassid ametukan v'rasha mekulkal. And here, starting to pave the path for what we're going to speak about next week, is why we can use these moral explanations of pious and wicked. Right? If it wasn't in my hands, if I couldn't do anything about it, if my anger just happened to me and it was just something, my emotions overtook me and I had no ability to fix it, it wasn't in my hands, wasn't my bechira, then I can't call somebody who gets angry a rasha because it's not their choice. But here the starting point and the whole essence of this Mishnah is that we're not just giving you a description of types of people. That's true. We are describing it, but it's not just a description. We are alluding to the fact that it's fixable. It's workable. These are things that we can, that through hard work, we can improve. Okay, so that's alluded to in the word deos. And partially, again, deos, according to the Rashbats, means free will to choose. And part of that, I think, comes down to, as we'll see in the next source, the Abarbanel, and it'll be spelled out a little bit more even in the following source of the Medrash Shmuel. So the Abarbanel here says in source number two, Vim heyosam me'amidos amar bideos lefisha hada'as ye omar al yishuv ha-secha. What does das mean? Das means that you can think straight, you have you're sort of on top, in control of your thought process. Uki'ilu amar arba midos biyishuv ha-secha v'tirufo. Again, this is the deos here is how well do you think and how quickly are you to totally disrupt that thought process. So anger on some level is very tied into our da'as, our thinking skills, our belief system is very connected to what we are going to get angry about and how intensely we are going to get angry as well. And the spelled out again further, this is the to fully bring it home, the Medrash Shmuel here in source number three, Hikdim be'inyan ha'arba midos sheba adam be'inyan mamono. So last Mishnah, we started by talking about money. Ve'acharkach davar be'inyan akas. Now we transition to anger. So why is that? Connection between Mishnayos, something we often ask. What's the connection between the Mishnayos? So why are we transitioning from money to anger? So he gives two reasons. Number one is we have a precedent for that in Chazal. Shekein matzinu sha'amruzal, the sages tell us, b'shlosha dvarma adam nikar. There are three things that we can identify, we can figure out, we can get a good glimpse of a person by. Three items that really litmus test for a person's characteristics. Number one is bekiso, his pockets, meaning his money. How does he spend his money? Number two, bekoso, their drinking style. Okay, it doesn't just mean whether they drink 8 cups of water a day or coffee, but when they imbibe things that can get them drunk, A, how often and frequently do they do that? But B, how do they behave when they are drunk? That can really give you a feel for who the person is. And then finally, bika'aso. You can really tell a person's character by how they get angry. So therefore, hikdimu kiso va'acharav kaso. So these two mishnayos skip the drinking, which is interesting, but go from kiso, pockets, money, to then ka'aso, how they get angry, because that's how we're going to be able to see a person in their totality. Now, the second reason, gam zos shirov ha'kas v'haktatos hu be'inyin ha'mamon. People get angry. Most fights are about money. Right? So we speak about money, and now we speak about anger because most people get angry in the context of money. And you don't have to go farther than people debating about wills and how money's passed on, or business fights that can last for, you know, forever. When it comes to money, people get angry. So that's the second connection between the two Mishnayos. And then, tying in what we just said in the previous two sources. Vitalu elu amidos bideos, velo amar ba'adam. In the first Mishnah, when it comes to money, we spoke about 4 characteristics of a person, generally. Here we call it bideos. Why? Lefisha inyana kasva ritsui hu talui bida'as. Anger and appeasement depend on our thinking, our cognitive skills. Ulefi sichlo savlanuso. The smarter we are, the more patient we will be. Kemosha kasuv hakasuv, as the pasuk writes, kas b'chek kesilim yanuach. Anger is very easily found within people who are considered kesilim. Shlomo HaMelech tells us that they're foolish. Right. So here you have what I think is clear within Chazal, within these Mefarshim, is that anger is highly dependent on da'as, thinking. Now, you might tell me that doesn't really make any sense. Why? Because I know very smart people who get angry, right? So it's important to realize here that when we use the word seichel and das here, we don't necessarily just mean IQ points and intelligence. And this is something we spoke about a few years ago in depth in various Mishnayos, that Chazal were not so into how smart you were, the way we use the term smart in an IQ, GPA sort of sense. Chazal and Shlomo HaMelech, etc., were focusing on das and seichel as an intelligence that incorporates a character, right? So we can, yes, it is according to Chazal. I don't care what your IQ is. I don't care if you know all of Shas by heart. I don't care if you have a PhD in quantum whatever. It doesn't matter. If you get angry, that shows us that you don't have what we value, which is the appropriate level of seichel and das. Right, your belief system, it's not just, again, how smart you are, how critical thinking skills, etc. Your belief system, your ability to know what's important, what's not important, your ability to demonstrate and have control, your emotional intelligence, your social intelligence, those are what really determines what we can see that you have das and that you have seichel. Otherwise, you get angry, you just prove to us you don't have das, you don't have seichel, I don't care how, quote-unquote, smart you are. That's the approach that these Rishonim and Achronim are bringing out from the use of das in our Mishnah. Okay, there's a lot to think about here.
Kas is a feeling? Isn't it kas a feeling?
Yes, Rabbi
Shlomo. We're talking about control the feeling is the problem, either yokashe or noach. But the kas is in the heart. It's not in the mind. Why do you say that this is a mind?
Excellent. That's exactly the point. That's exactly the sources here are coming exactly to counter your gut reaction here. Right? Most of us come with this approach that anger is just an emotion. It has nothing to do with my cognition, nothing to do with my thinking, nothing to do with my brain. It's all in the heart. It's just It happens to me. I can't do anything about it. And Chazal here, again, I'm using the term Chazal, even though Chazal just say the word Deos, and that it's not just the sages of the Mishnah, it's the interpretations of the sages of the Mishnah. So this stream of interpretations, which has, again, we're tracking this throughout the ages here, is telling us very clearly that anger is not an emotion in the sense that when sometimes we think of an emotion, which I think this is totally wrong in general, but a lot of people have this conception, is that an emotion is something that has nothing to do with our thinking. It has nothing to do with what's going on in our brain. And as I've emphasized in the past, and I will continue to emphasize, and this is the core of any cognitive behavioral therapy, and I believe that you find this, again, rooted here in Chazal, in the sages. It's rooted in Greek philosophy too. There's a lot of background behind this is that emotions are not just passions that happen to us without our thought process. They are things that are related to how we think. And the way we think is going to impact the way we feel. And the more we work on the proper thinking patterns and thinking styles, that will help our emotional experience. It doesn't deny the fact that sometimes emotions do just happen to us, and then we have to work backwards. To give an extreme case, if I'm walking down the street and I see a branch, or I'm walking through the forest and I see a branch, but in my head I quickly it just processed that I thought it was a snake, right? So I might jump up with fear. Now it's because I quickly, before I even was cognizant of it, thought it was a snake. Then I realize it's not a snake, so I take a step back and I realize, okay, I can calm down. I'm still going to feel that anxiety. So you can argue that that just happened to me without my conscious thinking. It was just a subconscious, my eyes were quicker than my brain, as it were. So sometimes things like that happen. What Chazal are saying here is that for the most part, our anger can be tied down to our thought process. And to the extent that we can work on our thought process, our anger will be better. Our anger will be better. So let's keep that in mind. That is big picture point number one, is that it's not just a feeling. It's a feeling that's dependent on our thoughts. And the more we can work on our thoughts, the better our emotional experience will be. If it was just a feeling, I wouldn't be able to say that much about it. What are you supposed to do? Each one of these things, it's bidas, it's bibechiraso, it's in your choice, it's in your hands. We can work on this if we want to. Okay, so that's the first main point. Now, let's skip source number four. Chaim.
Is there any emotion about which you cannot say what you just said about anger, that the mind can sort of control it? Is there another emotion that's not applicable for?
Yeah, so, listen, we can, this
hatred.
Is, now that I'm in my house, I have my bookshelf here. So, again, here's a textbook called Cognition and Emotion from Order to Disorder. So we can go through it. The basic argument here, and this is a little bit complicated, is that for the most part, there's two systems in our emotional experiences. One is something that happens really quickly that sort of bypasses our conscious experience, and the other is mediated by our thinking and our conscious experience. So it really depends on the situation. It could be, I'll give you an example. Rabbi Abraham Twersky has a little 2-minute snippet that's been going around for years on online, on social media. I assume it's in WhatsApp groups or whatever, where he explains different type, different things about anger. And then he basically starts. He's almost Sosa himself. He contradicts himself on some level. And it's really this tension. He starts off by saying, anger, it's sort of just, it's not in my control. So what is in my control? How I react after my anger. But he backpedals and he says, well, it's sort of in my control. The way I think about it can impact the anger, right? So it really is this tension. There are times where things just happen, and it happens so quickly, and it could be because of habit. It could be because of the way I've been doing it for 50 years. It could be because of it could be because of temperament. It could be because of genetics. It could be because of a bunch of different things that the anger just seems like it happens to me. And I'll tell you from my work in therapeutics, as well as with I think it's clear from Chazal, is that, yes, that might seem like what's happening, and it might be what's happening. It doesn't mean that it can't change, right? And through the process of self-awareness and reflection and help through sources and books and if therapy is appropriate therapy, you can become more aware of what you're subconscious, unconscious thinking process is that's leading you to get angry, what seems like this, and then work backwards to try to become more aware of your thinking, more aware of your surroundings, more aware of your situation, that the anger doesn't just happen like this, and that you can work on it. So so there are examples of times where emotions could just happen, and regardless of what you're thinking, you're not going to be able to control those emotions. Rabbi Soloveitchik talks about this as well. He has an Out of the Whirlwind, what's called a Theory of Emotions, and he's also a very big into cognition and the way we think is going to impact the way we feel. But again, he gives examples of somebody who somebody passes away. And you're in a state of aninos. That state of aninos he describes as being so overcome with emotion that in that moment you're not expected to necessarily be thinking straight and thoroughly and clearly and that's okay, and it is, right? But we're talking about most of the time, for most experiences that are not so intense and extreme, that there are ways to think your way better through an emotion to help you function better for yourself and in society. So there could be exceptions to the rules, but for the most part, I believe that our approach should be that I could work on my anger, I could work on my fear, I could work on my shame, I could work on all this stuff to the point where I can become better in control of my actions and my emotions, that through my thinking we'll be able to help that. Yeah, it could take years, and I still might not be perfect at it. Remember, starting off, there are four categories. There is no category of never getting angry. Right? Either because sometimes it's appropriate to get angry, or sometimes it just happens. You're going to get angry. Right? So we're talking, I would say, if you want to qualify it better to incorporate all of the exceptions to the rule, this is, for the most part, this is something that can be worked on. And if we look at this as it can never be worked on, I think that's a mistake. I think that's a mistake. Okay. So now, source number five. Actually, we're going to skip source number five also. I'll just tell you a little bit that it gets complicated. Not that this has been simple so far, but it gets a little bit more complicated when you introduce medieval psychology into the fold of how different commentaries in the 14th, 15th, 16th century understood how our personality structure and makeup is sort of how that's devised, how it's made up, is different than how we per se look at it nowadays. So you sort of have to work really hard to get a good understanding of what they're describing in terms of their personality structure, of how they understood how humans work. And again, maybe they're right on a lot of levels, but it's different than how we look at it now. So the Rav Matisyahu HaYitzhari here talks about a little bit about the difference between the money taiva, as it were, that we spoke about, the desire for money in the previous Mishnah, and the anger from this Mishnah, he say, come from two parts of your personality structure. There's a types of your personality structure that are related to taiva, and then there are this one, anger, is related to gaiva, arrogance. So in Chazal, or in this sort of understanding, is that the reason I get angry is because I think too much of myself. What he argues here, which is interesting, is that that could in theory be utilized for good spiritual purposes. Shehi tova shechaven ba avodas Hashem isbarach. If you can channel that gaiva, that arrogance, that anger towards for the sake of God, then that can be helpful. And it alludes to Barbara, what we spoke about before, in terms of, as an example of anger for Avodah Zarah. But he says most people, yesh mishtamshim babinyanim chomrim vihira ma'od v'sharash rov ha'averos. But for those who don't channel their arrogance slash anger in the appropriate direction, and they get angry about things that are chomrim, that are not spiritual, they're physical, they're material, then that is actually the source of several, many, many sins. And that's why lezeh samcha l'shlishlish shor shagai v'shlo latet amalo l'acherim. Again, that's how he connects it to the previous Mishnah. But it's interesting that that's why he says here, this one is deos, and the last one was Adam, because this is actually more, he calls anger a spiritual, it can have a spiritual capacity to it. Again, if it's channeled right, there is some level of Kedusha that can come through the anger. So it's an interesting thing to think about. Two more points that are, we'll just say, outside on this Das idea. The Ma'oros Eish, who the Masifta quotes, says that the reason why anger is called Bideos and Napa Adam, he says, because he can't call a person who gets angry Adam. Why? Not considered a person. Well, again, this is a little bit of a harsh statement, and I'm not sure how realistic it is, because then I guess none of us are Adam. But he says because it's self-destructive. Right? So if I get angry, and this is the reason why I'm bringing this point out, is to realize that anger is not just a problem if it's external, because I could hurt somebody else. Anger is a problem for me. And so what he argues is that if somebody does things that are self-destructive behaviors, that's sort of counter humanity, right? That's not a human part of, in his definition of humanity, of being human, is self-protective behaviors, doing things that are going to sort of perpetuate your being. Any self-destructive behavior, he says, you can't get the term Adam. Again, I wouldn't take it too seriously in terms of that, the harshness of what he's describing, but the point of the fact that anger itself is self-destructive, and that's important to highlight, I think is essential. And then the final point in this section is from the Beit Avot, who says that the reason we call it Bideos, Deos has a connotation of also of internal. It's my thinking. It's my thought process. It's what's going on inside of me, which is, again, counter to what we generally look at of anger. Anger, we usually, I think, look at as an external emotion, something that's social, that's interconnected with somebody else. The Beit Avot is saying is that don't fall into that trap, because anger is a problem even if it's just bideos. Even if your anger is internal, it's inside. You're not expressing it outside. Internalized anger is a problem as well. So even if in theory you can figure out a way how not to communicate that anger to somebody else, which is hard to do once you feel it inside, but if you could, that's still a problem. So even just bideos, even if it's just in your head, it's still an issue. Okay, so we saw several different explanations as to why we use the word bideos and not be'adam. The first main point is that deos highlights the fact that the emotion is cognitively tied. It's tied to our thought process and how we think and approach things on a da'as level. And then we saw a few other ideas we just did. I'm not going to recap because we did it in the last minute or two in terms of why we use the word deos instead of adam. Okay, so we are concluding section one. Anybody have any thoughts, questions, clarifications on that section before we get to the next section? Chaim.
I just sent on the chat that what you're talking about is what they classically do in all crime dramas anyway when a person claims the insanity plea. I was out of my mind. Or he was out of his mind when he committed the crime. He was not in his right mind. We use all these terms. All these terms imply, if I'm not in my right mind, that means that I'm not human, because being in my right mind implies human beings in my right mind. And so therefore there's an indication, not only in Yiddishkeit, but there's an indication all over the world that once a person loses the ability to control that kind of anger, they lose their being in touch with their own humanity.
Okay, I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, you should double check to make sure your fire alarm, was that you?
No, somebody's working in the house, that's why I keep going back and forth, I'm sorry.
Just want to make sure there's no fire in there. Okay, but yeah. We're good. Okay, so, all right, now, part two. Part two is going to be, hopefully, we'll make it as clear as possible, but it's a little textual and nuanced, and we're going to go back to what I skipped over before. I actually once gave a shiur on this. I think it was at the beginning of Corona for the OU. I gave a shiur on anger management during stressful times, and I quoted this mission. I think I even misquoted it, just because it's a little hard to follow the thinking, and there's two different contradictory ways of reading it. So with that, let's try to be as clear as possible here. The first two concepts in the Mishnah. Number one, it's easy to become angry and it's easy to be appeased. How do we judge such a person? Yatsa scharo behefsedo. His gain disappears in his loss. Meaning what? Right? His gain disappears in his loss. Meaning it sounds like he has more loss than gain. He loses whatever benefit he has in the fact that there's a greater loss. So let's assume that that's what it means for now. That somebody who gets angry easily, even though he's appeased easily, that's his gain, he's appeased easily, but the fact that he gets angry easily, that loss is worse. So the frequency drowns out the fact that he's appeased easily. That's number one. Number two is kasha lichos v'kasha lirtzos. Someone who's hard to become angry, so it's infrequent, but when he does get angry, it's hard to appease him. So yatsa hefsedo bischaro. The negative of the fact that he's hard to be appeased is forgotten, as it were, in the fact that he has a benefit, the benefit that it's infrequent, that it's kasha lichos, outweighs the problem that when he does get angry, he's not appeased. So it sounds like the Mishnah, when comparing, if I asked you, is it better to get angry more often but then back down quicker, or angry less frequently but like hold that grudge for a long time, which one's a better approach? So the Mishnah,
I would have thought the first one was better than the second.
Okay, good. So before
because holding a grudge is horrible. It's horrible to a person, and it's even worse to yourself.
Okay.
To me, it's holding the grudge that's horrible.
Okay, good. Hold off. We're going to have this debate in a moment. But I want to frame the debate before we do it, because I do want to get your input. You see here on the bottom here, I have this whole section is for your comments here, because I think that this our own experiences here are going to be important to bringing this out. But we have to frame it first. So number one is that's one way of reading the Mishnah. If you look at source number seven, the Bar Tanura quotes that there are those ve'is degarsi ifcha. There are those that say the exact opposite, that it's the flip. It's that it's better to get angry. It's better to get angry more frequently, but then back down, than it is to get angry less frequently, but hold that grudge. So Barbara, there are those who say like you, right? And then there's a third level here. The Medrash Shmuel here quotes that says that don't read too much into this. They're both the same bad, Right? It's just a literary flourish of the Mishnah that it's bouncing back and forth. But the answer is that there's a pro and a con to both, but we're not actually weighing which one's better or which one's worse. They both have a pro and they both have a con. That's what the Medrash Shmuel here in source number 6 suggests, that it's just, don't read too much into the wording. Now, I don't know if that's fair because, for the most part, that's not the approach that we take in Pirkei Avos, right? The approach that most commentators, including the Medrash Shmuel, takes is that every nuance is important and every textual distinction is important. Very infrequently do we say there was just a poetic flourish, right? We just don't do that, really. We like to take a super midrashic view of Pirkei Avos in the sense that every detail is important. So I'm just throwing it out there to just frame that there's obviously different opinions here. Some are going to weigh one better than the other. Some are going to weigh the other, vice versa. And there's some going to say, don't even do it. It doesn't matter. They both have a pros and cons. So what I want to do before we see the sources.
There's no sachar. That means there's no hafsed, both of them. There is no hafsed and there is no sachar. It doesn't matter if you.
Right. Cancels each other out. Cancels each other out. Right. There's a pro and a con and they both cancel each other out. They're both sort of, if you want to say it this way, they're both middle of the road approaches. Remember from last week, we suggested when it came to the four types of sharing, as it were, we had two extremes. You have your chassid and your rasha on the extremes. And then you had two examples of middle of the road types of behaviors. So this could be, in theory, we'll have to debate this out, a similar approach. At the end, we have our extremes. We have our pious approach and we have our wicked approach. And in the middle, meaning the first two options, are sort of run-of-the-mill types of approaches, which are not great and they're not terrible. And then we want to debate which one's better to have versus the other. So let's take a moment here. And as Barbara already started us off, let's just brainstorm from our own experiences. What do we think is the better approach? If it was a forced choice between either getting angry more frequently, but then backing down, or getting angry less frequently, but holding that grudge, what's the pros and cons? Let's weigh it out, and then we could probably predict what many of the commentaries are going to suggest as to explain why one is better or worse than the other. But actually, before we do that, I just want to highlight one important thing that's not clear, is that when we say more frequently and less frequently, and then appeased and not appeased, it doesn't necessarily talk about intensity of the anger expression.
Oh, right.
Right? So it could be, and I'm saying that because when I hear Noach Lichos, let's go back, make sure I don't mess this up. When I hear this first one, Noach Lichos ve Noach Lirtzos, that I'm easily angered but easily appeased, I might sort of go in my mind that the person's just like getting a little bit angry a lot and then they back down. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say they get a little angry frequently. It could be they get very angry frequently, but then they back down. And again, we probably know somebody like that who can explode and then right afterwards be like back to normal. Okay, so that in theory could be Noach Lichos and Noach Lirtzos. Another type of Noach Lichos and Noach Lirtzos might be somebody who gets angry, every 10 minutes, but they don't really express it so intensely, and then they can back down also. So within Noach Lichos and Noach Lirtzos, my point here is that we're isolating the variable of intensity. It doesn't clearly state how intensely I'm getting angry. And the truth is the same is true for the second one. I don't get angry frequently, but when I do get angry, I don't let it go. So holding that grudge doesn't necessarily tell me how intensely I'm expressing that anger when I do feel it. So again, I'm isolating intensity. It's really frequency and then forgiveness. Okay, so with that in mind, let's brainstorm for a second. Why would we say, what are the pros and cons here? Why would we say that less frequent and harder to appease is better. Less frequent and harder to appease is better. Yes, Freda.
I just want to say that I don't think appease and holding a grudge are the opposites here. I don't think that that's what it's talking about. Because appease means if somebody got angry about something and you calm them down for that situation. I don't see where the grudge aspect is here. There are people who get angry. You calm them down. You appease them. It has nothing to do with long-term grudges.
So what would be Kasha?
The issue, because Barbara was right. Holding a lot of grudges is going to kill you.
So if I'm Kasha Lirtzos, what does it mean, Kasha Lirtzos?
Lirtzos is, to me, it's, well, the word appeased. Lirtzos is appeased, but I don't think that means anything about grudge, but just whatever the source of the anger was is to remove that source or explain it away. Somebody gets angry, is somebody who's quickly to get angry in all kinds of situations, but is also, it's easy to point out the issues, calm them down without.
So if I'm, tell me the flip though. If I'm Kasha Lirtzos, if it's difficult for me to be appeased, so what's happening?
You hold on to your anger. It's not a grudge. It's not necessarily a grudge. It's just the anger.
Okay.
I think instead of appease, it should be forgive. I think
that's not
the whole
what Lirtzot means. That's not what Lirtzot means.
Right.
But
I think
why are they using Noach? That's what I don't understand. Why they're using Noach?
Right.
You know, like, what does that word have to do with lichos? It's like an oxymoron, you know?
It should have been kal. It should have been kal.
Okay,
kal is easy.
So it's a good point. If you remember, Rabbi Shiloni, and then I'll say what I was going to say. Yeah.
I think both of them talked about the mind over the kas. It's the mind, noach lirtzot means, oh, I used my mind. I use my sechel, and therefore, and right away, ani soleah. The other one, kasher lirtzot, means my mind did not control my kas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And is that soleah?
Both of them have kas, but it depends what did I do with the kas. I used my mind, and I said, wow, why was I angry altogether? And then you say, or the other way. My mind is not working.
Right. Okay, so it could be. So two things. Number one, the reason why it uses the word noach. So if you remember that I said, well, I'm going to test you on the previous time we talked about anger. Who remembers the previous mission we spoke about anger?
I don't know.
No.
Okay. It could be it came there, but there's one that explicitly talks about anger. So if you look in Perek.
Cut down the lemon.
Okay, good. It's there too. But one that uses the word kas. So it's in the end of the second chapter. It says, Al tihi noach lichos. It uses the same language. Don't be noach lichos. Which actually throws a monkey wrench in this whole Mishnah. Because our best option here in our Mishnah is... Well, I guess it does. It means to be.
I don't agree with that. I think number two is better than number one.
Okay, fine. So for now, we'll analyze it later. But for now, just keep in mind to answer Barbara's question of the terminology of alti of noach lichos, harkens back to that previous mission of alti noach lichos. And when we did that mission, if you remember, some of the commentary said the reason we say that is because the pasuk Shlomo Amel tells us is kas bechik sil yanuach. I think we referenced that before also. Yeah. Kas b'chik silim yanuach. It's actually the language of the pasuk. The pasuk uses that term yanuach in the context of anger. The anger rests. So you're right. Maybe a different word could be used, but that's the reason why that word is used. It's based on the pasuk. But let's sort of hone in for a second. I'll point out one more thing that makes this even a little bit more complicated is that we don't give How long does it have to be? So let's say it takes me 5 minutes to calm down after I'm angry. Is that difficult to appease? Or are we talking about I sit on it, you know, as Barbara was saying, as a grudge for the rest of my life? Or am I angry for the next 3 days, right? And I stonewall and then I don't talk to the person for whatever. So it's not really clear how frequent, infrequent, intense, not intense. The terminologies aren't really explicitly told to us. So we're sort of just guessing, which opens up more possibilities. But it's going to be hard to pinpoint the exact concepts here. So on the one hand, I'm just going to go, even though, Freda, you're questioning Barbara's use of the term grudge, which is okay. But the point that Barbara's making, regardless of whether you use grudge or not, is that holding on to that anger is damaging, right? Mm-hmm. However long it is, mm-hmm. holding on to that anger is damaging. So if it's harder, so if it's less frequent but harder to appease, but holding on to anger is damaging.
To both people.
To both people. Okay. Now, why would it be... So, Fred, I think where you're going, if it's easier to get angry, but then I'm more easily appeased, what's the benefit of that?
Oh, I didn't like that.
Oh, you didn't like that. So what's the problem what's the problem with that?
I think that an angry person, I put it in the chat, an angry person is someone who's unhappy, but I'm talking about unhappy in the sense of satisfaction with life, that they just get angry all the time at everything.
So frequently frequently angry is sort of perpetually
that's
unhappy.
That's the other
Russia.
Side. It goes on the other side.
Okay, yeah, it depends how we frame this. But yeah, frequently angry equals perpetually unhappy. So even if you're appeased quickly, but it's still continuous moments of unhappiness. Okay, so it's one thing if every year I get angry about something, and even if I hold on to it, it's not really that frequent that it's damaging me. Okay.
Rabbi.
Yes.
It's more frequent than every little thing bothers you. Less frequent means maybe those are the justified things that you really had a right to get angry over.
Okay, yeah. So good. I'm not following my own logic here in terms of where I'm putting it in the boxes. So you'll have to forgive me. So I'm just putting things down. We're brainstorming here. We'll figure out where they go afterwards. Less frequent is more justified.
Yeah.
Okay. So what you're getting angry about is more justified. Okay. Good.
And human.
Okay.
Sorry.
Anybody else have any thoughts here? Peggy.
No, I'm just agreeing with Barbara.
Okay. Maybe less frequent, more justified, and human, sort of realistic, as it were. Okay. Any other thoughts?
Maybe it's sort of like the quality of the anger. I mean, if a guy cuts me off on a highway, that's one, and I get angry, that's one kind type of anger. If somebody hurts, God forbid, the feelings of anyone in my family, that's a different kind of anger. Or if somebody does something to cause me great emotional harm, these are all different types of anger, and they're qualitatively different, even though it's the same emotion that we're talking about.
Okay, good. So what you're pointing out here is not necessarily which one's better or which one's worse, but you're pointing out even more lack of clarity within our Mishnah. We haven't talked about duration, that specifically intensity, that specifically, or even, again, the type of anger. There could be different types of anger, and how I relate to that, to the different externalities that are affecting that anger. Okay, so good. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We have more to say on this, and I think we're basically out of time. So we're going to we're going to hold off, and next week what we're going to do is we're going to see the different commentaries. Some of them you've just alluded to in terms of your own brainstorming as to which one's better or which one's worse, but we're going to see four or five commentaries here on why more frequent is worse. Okay, and some interesting stuff that we did not touch on. Why is it worse to have more frequent anger? Then we're going to see why the flip. Why is it worse to have more the longer grudge, if you want to call it that way, why that's worse, even if it's less frequent. And then we'll finish off next week with discussing the Chassid versus Rasha and the concept of never getting angry. I think that we should probably finish within next week. I don't think we'll need another 2 weeks, but
can I say something in response to Chaim? I think Chaim's point is huge, because I think about drivers and people who get, like you said, somebody cuts you off, you get really, really angry. But how long do you stay angry? It's not like you walk around for 3 days angry about that. There's nothing you can do about it. The person's just gone. And that's a huge, that's a big difference. But then people who get angry all the time while they're driving, they're the ones who wind up honking and behaving aggressively because they're so angry at everybody else. And you have to learn. That's okay. Would be nice to be easily appeased. Yeah, he cut me off. Okay, what am I going to do about it?
Good. I mean, there is a whole literature on road rage and the aggressiveness that comes along with that. But just so you know, there are people who stay angry and they'll follow you on the road because you cut them off for another 2 miles and do things that are intensely, incredibly dangerous because of that anger. So I guess you're correct. Chaim's point is that there's so many different types of anger, and obviously this Mishnah is not hitting upon every single possible nuance of anger. I mean, I have here, I want to go to the library here. Let's see where it is.
Rabbi?
Here's
looking for a book.
Another textbook on anger, Understanding Anger Disorders. By Raymond DiGiuseppe, who was my teacher at St. John's and at the Albert Ellis Institute. It's an entire textbook on all the different possible, types and subtypes and nuances of anger. So there's all, again, it's a Mishnah. It's four lines. It's not going to cover everything, but it is important to at least point out what it's covering, what it's not covering, so that we can better understand where it's trying to go. Chaim.
Not would it pay for me, I have a vested interest in this, to discover what it is that makes the Torah say that Kohanim in particular are easier to anger. And what is that all about? And what type of anger that is, and how that fits in with what we've been learning this morning. I'd be fascinated. I don't know. I've always been told that Kohanim are angry, but it's not true. I mean, where does that come from? What is that based on?
Okay, good. There's lots of literature on that. We can find different things about that. I mean, just hypothesizing here, I think it probably gets into what we discussed in the beginning in terms of that potential for righteous anger. Meaning, so if you can have a spiritually appropriate intensity when you're working in the Beis HaMikdash, there is it's high stakes. Right? You make a mistake and people, there could be punishment. Nadav and Aviyu, there's a lot of stress and spiritual stress, as it were, as well as Kohanim were the teachers, right? The Kohanim were the ones who were teaching. Now, we saw Lo HaKaptan Lame, that a teacher should not be angry, but that doesn't take away the fact that teaching as a profession, there's a high propensity for people to feel anger. I mean, we'll actually see that because, alluding to a little bit down the road, probably in 2 weeks from now, the next Mishnah is going to talk about different types of students. And some of the commentaries are going to link this Mishnah to that Mishnah and basically make the point that teachers have a big Yetzer Hara, as it were, to get angry as well. And it's common for teachers to get angry. I think it needs to be compensated for. I think the same should be true about Kohanim as well. Just because there's a greater propensity for something, I'm just going to mute you for a second. Just because there's a greater propensity for something doesn't mean that it can't be controlled or worked on. So we're not going to spend an entire, sort of discussion on that. If I see something particularly, I'll bring it up. But I think that on the I'll regal achas. That's the answer. I mean, there's a lot on the line. There's God on the line, as it were. And once God is on the line in our minds for holy reasons, that can accentuate the possibility of anger. And I would say, again, therefore, needs to be worked on even more, right? We don't say, if you just go the teacher route, we don't say, oh, teachers can get angry frequently because it's such a high-stress job, and there's, I'm teaching Torah, there's someone, and the kid's throwing paper airplanes, how, you know, how can it be, right? So we don't say, okay, therefore get angry. We say, no, loa kapton lamed, you still can't get angry, right? So you have to work on that in order to be an effective teacher, because whatever. So I think that the same would apply probably to Kohanim, just because there's a description that there's a more propensity for that. Even if you want to say it's the genetic code, right? That whatever they found, that Kohanic gene.
Shimon and Levi.
Pinchas.
Shimon and Levi from Shem. That's where it comes
from. And Pinchas. Okay, so you're related to Pinchas, so.
So it could be that there's a spiritual genetic code that's passed down. It could be there's a physical genetic code that's passed down. The question is whether or not that's a be-all and end-all excuse, or that just means, you know, work harder on it. Okay, so
Rabbi.
Yes, Barbara.
Rabbi.
Okay. Yes.
I'm very angry at you.
Awesome.
Because I have to wait a whole week till we finish this Mishnah, but I forgive you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Barbara, you're a baker.
Cool.
No, tzadekes would be. She wouldn't get angry.
You got the wrong person.
Right. No, no, she is. Okay.
She wouldn't have gotten angry at all.
She loves Torah so much, she can't live without it. All right. So, Listen, if you want, I'll send you some sources, keep you busy throughout the week.
All right. Thank you, Rabbi.
Nice.
Wonderful.
Nice.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see you guys.
A lot to think about. I loved it.
Have a good week, everyone.
Shavua Tov.
Shavua Tov.
Shavua Tov.
Shavua Tov.